meeting to be a day of celebration and joy. Often people look towards these kinds of meetings with a sense of dread, a sense of boredom, a sense of, I'm sure I'm really busy on that particular day. But I want for our tradition to be different. I want us to look forward to remembering what it is that God has been doing in our midst. And if you've had a chance to flick through this already, then I'm sure you'll be encouraged. If you haven't, please take one home, look at it, and celebrate all that God has been doing in our midst. If you want to turn to the scriptures, we're going to look together at a resurrection story out of John chapter 20. If you need a Bible, then some of the welcome team are scurrying around to grab one for you. Really want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church with you. And I really want to encourage those at the back. Tom, I don't know if you can sort this sound out. It still sounds very boomy to me. And I'd really appreciate you turning me down or sorting out the reverb or something. Thank you. So we are going to read from John chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 19. So this is the reading set for today, and we read it in the early service, and I wanted to read it again today because it leads very nicely into what it is that I want to say. So verse 19 of John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, I don't know if that's because he was small. I'm a Greek scholar, as you can tell. One of the twelve was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I would like to suggest to you that this document, our APCM report, are the signs of life that we see working in our community and through our community. The life of the power of the risen Jesus. And I love the way that we get to mark each year because, yeah, it might be a bit of a hassle getting everybody to actually write their reports and actually submit them in time and actually print them out and actually staple them and get them to you. But what a joy to read what's inside them. To say, this is what's happened in the last year. Lucy, I put a photo together, which I don't know if you've got as the screenshot for this talk, but little pictures, all these pictures are in our church report. Thank you, Lucy. Showing us some of the things that have gone on in our church community this year. And if you get bored at any time, just try and, you know, spot people. We've seen growth in our church community this year. And I just want to say, and I'm probably going to say this every single year, growth in numbers is a good thing because numbers represent people and people matter, so numbers matter. We don't want to be a church that's obsessed by numbers, but we do want to be a church that cares about numbers, because if we care about numbers, then we care about people. And the more people who get to hear about the good news of Jesus and start following him, the larger our church community grows. And so by the fact that our church community has grown in this last year means we have reason to celebrate, because there is new life at work in people who have come to faith in Jesus. And just like we were doing this time last week, getting people very wet as we baptize them, it's a reason to celebrate. And so we celebrate our growth in numbers. Numbers matter because people matter. And I'd also say we've grown in depth as a church community as well. I've been so encouraged hearing some of the conversations that were had, particularly around Lent, when I heard of people who had taken on new patterns of choosing to fast, choosing to pray in different ways, hearing what it was that we were talking about as a community and beginning to build that more into our individual lives as well as our corporate life. But I did make a mistake in the APCM report, everybody. I made a pretty major mistake because I thanked lots of people, but I forgot to thank the staff team. So I'm going to take the opportunity to do that right now, because the staff team work to serve you. We don't want to create a church where we're asking you to give money so that the staff team have jobs. Like, that seems kind of the wrong way around. What we want to do is build a staff team to serve you as you're seeking to follow Jesus in your workplace, in your neighborhoods, in your lives, and that the staff team would serve you as you do that. That's our dream, and that's our hope. It's been great to have Chris back this time last year. Chris was struggling in a lot of pain. He's still struggling in a lot of pain, but he's with us and serving, and we're really proud of you, Chris, for the way that you're fighting through that. It's great to have Simon on the team. Can you believe that a year ago, Simon didn't even live here? He was in London studying and serving at a completely different church, and I've just been so encouraged at the way that he's got involved in the life of the church community. Dan's done an amazing job trying to stand in Georgina's shoes as she stepped down through maternity leave. Ruth has done an amazing job reaching out to students. She only started in August, or late August, early September, and has been able to connect with a whole bunch of students and start new things. Rick has been working hard and is right there right now serving with our kids and young people. We're outgrowing the space that we've got for them, and so he's trying to build a team and come up with some solutions for how we serve all the kids that are coming along to worship on a Sunday morning. He also oversees the interns, and we want to thank Meg and Lucy, who work really hard during the week to serve us as a community. Jez leading out the Eden team. If you just read through the report of what's happening through Eden, it's extraordinary the way that God is moving in our local community and in our school. And Alice, she works half-time. She's paid to do some admin for New Wine for Chris and I. That's paid by New Wine through the church. The other half of her week, she gives voluntarily so that she can help develop this building into a place that can run events. It's why you might be sticking to the floor a little bit this morning and smelling beer as you walked in, because there was a gig here last night as Alice pulled that together, but also in terms of the longer term redevelopment of this space. And in terms of people who give their time for free, I need to really make sure I honor my wife Lizzie, who works tirelessly without any payment, without any reward, but serving on many, many days through the week, doing stuff behind the scenes as well as running a whole bunch of groups. So I would like to offer an opportunity, not just for me to thank them, but for you to thank them. So why don't we just honor our staff and those who work so hard. Give them a round of applause and say thanks to them. Also, I told you there'd be some clapping. There's going to be more clapping, so get ready. That's what we do when we're thankful, right? We thank people. Also, I want to thank the PCC. They represent the church. They represent you. They are your representatives to make sure that the church is governed well, so that we are actually doing what it is that we say we want to do. They're helping towards our vision being fulfilled. And I want to thank them for meeting together. I want to thank them for considering the different options. And I want to thank them for making those decisions on our behalf. So why don't we just thank the PCC, those who have served a long time, those who are fresh to serving. Thank you. Going to start feeling like a political rally soon, isn't it? We're the dream of the staff team and of the PCC is to see the vision that we've been given by God become a reality, that we might see God's kingdom come here on earth more than it currently is, as we would see it in heaven. For the church, our church, you and me, to play our part in seeing revival come to Salford and to Manchester, to plant other churches as we see God's kingdom come in other places than just here, to stretch out and be generous in all that it is that God has called us to do. We talk about loving and serving Jesus, each other, Greater Manchester and beyond. And I wanted to take those three sections this morning and look back as well as looking forward, giving thanks and dreaming some dreams about what it is that God might like to do with us as we celebrate what he's already done. So I'd like to suggest, as we think about what it means to love and serve Jesus, that if we get that bit right, the rest of the stuff is going to happen anyway. If we as individuals love and serve Jesus, and that's the ultimate goal of our lives, then the rest of our lives are going to fall into place. It won't necessarily be easy, and God knows through history, people have lost their lives because they've chosen to put Jesus first. But if we do that, then we're doing the very thing that Jesus invited us to do when he called us to become his disciples. And if we as a church community are loving and serving Jesus first, then I would suggest that loving and serving each other and loving and serving the city in which we live just flows out of that. That's where it begins. And so it's really encouraging that the largest team in our church community is the worship team. There's 40 people who serve on the worship team. Week in and week out, different people doing different things, either playing music or sorting the tech or running the screens. We're so grateful for all that they do. Chris has been doing a great job since he's got back of gathering them together. And now once a month they meet. Instead of rehearsing, they'll meet together on an evening just to worship together and learn what it means to use the prophetic gifts that God has given that team so that they can serve us better at what it means to use the prophetic gifts as we gather. We've gathered co-hosts together, so it's not just staff who are now leading Sunday worship, but it's others as well, part of our church community, because we know that when we gather together, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14, we know that God speaks to his people, not just to the staff team, right? And so to have co-hosts around, it means that we can have more connection with people. And if you feel like the Lord's saying something, you can come and speak to them and say, I feel like God might be saying this. We started writing some songs so that we as a church community can begin to sing our own songs. I'm really excited about us when we get them actually finished and then into your lips and voices and hearts. We want to serve you by singing our song, not just songs that are coming out of California or somewhere else around the world, but songs that are coming out of here, out of what it is that God's doing here in our midst. And we want to be a church that trains up worship leaders, that writes new songs and is a blessing to other communities. And just next month at the Wit Walk in Manchester, our church is serving all of the churches who are gathering together in the center of Manchester, serving other churches and being a blessing to them. And as I mentioned, as we gather together on a Sunday, we've got almost more kids than we know what to do with right now. And we celebrate that, but it's a problem that we're going to need to resolve because of what God is doing in our midst. I'm also encouraged by the deeper prayer that we've seen. I absolutely loved Holy Week. I loved setting aside the kids and youth room as a 24/7 prayer room for three of the days of Holy Week. And then the whole night of prayer. And for some of us who made it through the whole night, just that sense of God's presence and love. And hopefully if you made some of it, then you experienced that too. And then leading, of course, into the great celebration that was Easter Sunday. Just so encouraged by the praying that's going on, so encouraged by the fasting that's happening here, so encouraged by us as a community saying, Jesus, we want you first. So loving and serving each other. Well, we talk about four different ways of being part of our church community. And hopefully you know these by now if you've been around for a little while. We talk about come, serve, join, give. That come, we would simply be a community that turn up and are present with one another. Why? Because when you keep seeing people, you get into community with them, right? I don't know which supermarket you shop at, but it may well be that you go there regularly enough that you kind of at least recognize the face of the person who's on the checkout sometimes. And there can be that kind of awkward, I really don't know your name and I've never really spoken to you, but hello. Well, the more that we're present to each other, the more we grow in community. Simply by coming, by being present, we are saying we're putting one another first. Because I need you and you need me. We need one another to be a church community. We can't do church on our own. We grow in our faith and in our hope and in our love as we spend time together. Serving means doing something together, though, right? Coming means sitting next to each other and going, hello. Serving means, I don't know, making coffee or breaking cups or whatever it might be that you're doing on the team or serving on the worship team, as we've already mentioned. There are so many teams that work within this church. There's the vulnerable women's team. There's the Eden team. There's the kids and the youth teams. There's the worship team, the tech team, the finance team, the chapel top teams. I can't actually list all the teams because I don't know all of them. Well, actually, I just didn't look on Church Suite. That's, well, I don't, but anyway, you should never start a list. That's what I've learned. Never start a list because you'll always forget something. But there's over 100 people who serve on team in this church community, and so we need to thank them too. So why don't we give a round of applause, and if you're sitting next to somebody, say, what team do you serve on? And say, thank you very much. So let's give a round of applause, everyone who serves on team. Let's honour everybody. Thank you for what you do. We couldn't do it without you. So quickly, find out what team they're on. What team do you serve on? And they'll say, I'm a guest. Please don't ask me. Nobody's taking me seriously. Okay. Well, apparently we won't do that. All right. Joining, come serve, join, give. Joining means belonging to part of a connect group. Those smaller places of belonging. Psalm 68, verse 8 said, God puts the lonely in families. And our little family communities are called connect groups. And we've seen them grow. We've seen a first connect group plant another connect group this year, which we celebrate because we've seen on the smaller scale what we want to see God do on the larger scale with us as a church community. It's a place where we can share our joys and our sorrows. It's a place we share our highs and our lows, our strengths and our weaknesses. And here we want to see more connect group leaders grow up and develop. We want to see more connect groups planted. We want to see more people in community. Why? Because numbers matter, because people matter, right? So the numbers of connect groups we have means that we've got more leaders. The numbers of leaders we have means we have more people. The more people we have, the more people who are getting impacted with the love and the life of Jesus. Amen? So what I want us to do now is thank the connect group leaders. So if you're near a connect group leader, why don't you thank them personally? If you're not, just give them a round of applause. Thank you guys for all that you do to serve our church community. Come, serve, join, and give. As Dan said, we're so grateful to the people who already commit to giving to our church community. I'm not going to repeat the financial report. But we give money so that we have a place where we can meet here. We give money so that the heating comes on when it works. And thank you to all of you who gave for the boilers. We give money so that we can eat donuts when the co-op have remembered to cook them. We give money so that we can drink some coffee when we come in here. So when the lights switch goes on, then the lights come on. When we go to the toilet, there's toilet roll. Things like that, deadly practical stuff. But we also give money because we want to be a blessing beyond this place too. And the key challenge for us as we mature as a church community is being able to cover our own costs. And we're going to look over the next month a bit more into money, just see what the Lord says about that in the Word. We want to encourage everyone to give generously so that we as a church can be a generous church. And then Greater Manchester and beyond, loving and serving Jesus, our worship, loving and serving each other, our community, and loving and serving Greater Manchester and beyond. We want to be a blessing to this place that we live. And there are so many things that we already do here as a church community that bless other people. Just think about it. On a Monday afternoon, there's a pamper afternoon for vulnerable women engaged in the sex industry. On a Tuesday, we run Chapel Tots, a toddler group for parents and carers and their kids. There's a job club that runs on a Tuesday afternoon and a youth group on a Tuesday evening. On a Wednesday, we have English classes for people learning conversational English. There's a Pilates group, which Notice is moving to Monday from tomorrow. Anyway, that's been running on a Wednesday. There's the art group for older people to connect together and learn art. There's a student living room that happens during student term times. And for 30 weeks a year, we run Alpha each week. On a Thursday, there's Kids Life, gathering together local kids. On a Friday, there's the Eden Youth, which I've got the Youth Eden bus coming along the next few weeks. And gigs and events on Saturday evenings. Almost every day of the week, something is going on in this church, trying to be a blessing into the wider community. And you can read other things in the APCM report, like the mentoring scheme happening over in the school. Let's celebrate all the lives that are being touched as we seek to be a blessing into the wider community. And each of us are out in the city every day. That's non-verbal communication, by the way, that Gareth, it's time to stop talking. The kids coming in, it's just a non-verbal communication. Each of us are out in the city every single day. I don't know what you do. I don't know what your job is. I don't know if you study or work or look after kids. But whatever you do, you as church are scattered around the community, being a blessing in the places that we live. Hi, guys. Wow, it's great to have you back. It's probably not time to play it right now. We want to be the church gathered, and we want to be the church scattered. And as we try and share the good news of Jesus, over 40 people have done Alpha this year. We've given out hundreds of flyers. We've boosted our social media. And I just want to thank Simon and Anne and others who've taken photos and done hard work on the social media. Can we thank Simon and his team that he's putting together for social media? Because it's gone absolutely ballistic in this last year. And we're so grateful. Right, one more thing and then I promise we're done. And then everyone can play it if you'd like, or TIG or whatever you call it. All right, we have a vision then to develop our crypt and this building to be a greater blessing to the community in which we live. We want it to function as a workspace for those who are moving in and looking for a place to work. We want it to be a place that develops micro-industries to help people work themselves out of poverty. We want to have breakout rooms that can serve the community, but also our kids and young people. The architects right now are working on access solutions to downstairs, because that's the biggest challenge of all. We're then going to put together a project team because we want to be a blessing into our city. That's what God has called us to do, and we have this incredible asset that we're looking to use to be a blessing in the wider community. But we also talk about beyond, Greater Manchester and beyond. And part of the way that we're going to bless the beyond is by people who come here perhaps to study, and they get to share in the life of Jesus, or perhaps to begin to follow Jesus for the first time, and then go home to their own country or home to their own city and take the good news of Jesus with them. But there are other ways that we can partner as well. And some of you might remember, those of you who were around back in 2017, Lizzie and I took our family out to Tanzania to visit a village which is working and doing, having a profound impact in its local area. And we came back and said, would it be possible for us to connect with Tear Fund to help support the work that's already happening there? And so, because you've heard quite enough of me already today, we've got a video, our first video from this partnership that we've developed with Tear Fund. It's only 2 short minutes, and it just gives a little bit of background to what it is that we're trying to see God do. Just a note, they talk about CCMP. That stands for Church and Community Transformation. That can't be right. CCMP. Where's Darren when you need him? No. No. Yes. Something like that. Tell you what, by the end of the video, I'll tell you what it stands for. Thank you, Google. So we're going to look and watch this video, and they're going to talk about CCMP, which is the process, Church and Community Mobilization Process. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it stands for. Church and community, the church being the source of change in their local community as they mobilize others to work themselves out of poverty. That's what we are supporting as a church. So I want you to have a look at this, and then we'll worship and thank the Lord.